Well, I want to thank those words that Jack spent so much time prayerfully and studying God's word and to bring us that message. And I'm thankful just to be but a voice. So often in the Old Testament, you read of the servants that are called, and they truly were nothing without God. It was God that was speaking through them, and they were but the messenger. God's word is what has the power and the strength. And so I'm grateful that we're able to have that this morning. And I also thank the choir and men's group and their participation. It's nice to have some of those things back and be able to worship our Lord as he has called us to sing praises to him. And that is a blessing to be a part of. This morning we are taking a break from our study in the book of Hebrews in order to observe and celebrate communion. And communion is an observance given to the children of God, as we heard already. Being made children of God through Jesus, we are a family, have a common union with our Heavenly Father, and it's made only possible through our Lord Jesus. And there is a connection between the book of Hebrews and the communion we celebrate, for if we look ahead in our study in Hebrews, chapters 5, 6, and especially 7, we will be looking at in the next few weeks or months, we will read of a mysterious figure named Melchizedek. And the very first mention of Melchizedek in the Bible coincides with the first mention of a communion as we celebrate it. In Genesis 14, and if you want to turn there, Abram the Hebrew gathered his 318 trained servants together in order to rescue his nephew Lot. Lot had been taken captive by this alliance of enemy kingdoms. They had come and besieged or conquered the city of Sodom where Lot lived. That city had fallen to them and they took Lot captive. Now, after Abram prevailed against these enemies and rescued Lot, we are greeted with this figure named Melchizedek. And I'll just read verses 18 to 20 of Genesis 14 when Abram meets him. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed them and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Here in Genesis 14, we read of a war. If you were to start in the beginning, you would see all these different kings that come together, that collude together, and they come against other kings. And they took captive Lot. Then he is rescued by Abram. He is a type of savior for Lot. And finally, a communion supper is put on by the king and priest Melchizedek. Now, I will refrain from getting into the greater details of this account, especially of Melchizedek, because we will be looking at him in the next few chapters. But I'd just like to highlight that pattern that we see here. A war, a capture, a rescue, and a celebration. For we see this played out throughout the Bible. In fact, the entirety of the Bible, it speaks of this. And this plays out within the individual redeemed soul as well. When Jesus had communion with his disciples, we refer to as the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, we read in Matthew 26, verses 27 to 29, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. And for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" He personalized that. He was speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to us that he would not drink it new until he's in his Father's kingdom and those that he has rescued would be there with him. See, there is a war raging since the Garden of Eden, and it is spiritual in nature. It has taken many captive through sin, yet like Abram, Jesus was willing to go to the extreme lengths in order to rescue fallen man. In fact, he went to the most extreme. Ephesians 4 verse 8 says, "When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Just like Abram, who went and got Lot out of captivity, and then he gave tithes to Melchizedek. He gave gifts. So Jesus has promised to give his saints rewards in heaven, crowns which will be then laid at his feet. For the Lord God alone is worthy. We're not worthy of them, but we lay them at his feet. It's interesting that what led to Lot's captivity was weak leadership. If you read in this account, and in verse 10, you will see that the king of Sodom, where Lot lived, the one that was to be protecting the people, he fled from the invading armies. He abandoned his people. He was a false shepherd. And in fact, in some accounts, it says that he fell into a pit. And they refer to it as a slime pit or an asphalt pit. It was a dirty, dark pit. Later in verse 21, we see that after Abram went out and rescued the Lot, and he had this communion with Melchizedek, we read that in verse 21 that this king of Sodom shows up again. He managed to crawl out of that pit and clean himself up, and he showed up for the victory. How often people do that. They want to claim the glory, go for a victory lap. And he says to Abram, "Give me the persons." And that literally means, "Give me the souls of the people. And take the goods to yourself." Is that not what Satan is desiring? Even the world? The world will promise you everything. Wealth, health, prosperity, power. Satan will give you whatever you want if he can have the soul. Well, Abram wouldn't hear it from this. Well, he was a slime ball. He came from fell into a slime pit, and so that's what he was. And he says in Genesis 14, verse 22 and 23 to the king of Sodom, "I will lift up my hand unto the Lord." He appealed to the highest authority. He was not going to some king or some man. He was going to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. "That I will not take from thee a thread even to a shoe latchet." He wouldn't take even the smallest thing. "That I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich." He was denying the goods that were offered him so that those souls would be saved. And you think of Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness, led by the Spirit, tempted of Satan. And Satan, what did he offer? Everything in this world. He was the God of this world. He is the God of this world. And yet Jesus, being God, knew that this was his. This is his inheritance, and he could take it at any time. But he did not take it at that time because he knew that he needed to save the souls. He did not take the goods that were offered. Jesus said he would not drink of the fruit of the vine until he drank it new with you in his Father's kingdom. He has reserved it. He is waiting. He is longing to have that with you and I in his kingdom. The spiritual war that's been going on will increase until it sees its climactic end during what the Bible describes as the tribulation. And then there will be a marriage supper, Revelation 19 speaks of, a communion as never before with our King and High Priest Jesus at the center of it. And so as we partake in communion this morning, let us examine ourselves first, lay aside any friction we may have with those in the household of God, because we do live in flesh and we do have faults, and we can allow those things to cause division, and God does not want that. Bring our faults to the Lord, to come in a clean spirit and to be reminded that if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, he has rescued us from captivity of sin. He has promised gifts eternal to us, and we are invited to a communion like no other, as Jack fittingly had placed this Revelation 22, speaking of an eternity with him, an eternal communion with God in his presence.